I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, what a night of the Mayfair Barclays. Welcome to Ramble React. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr.
Andy Brassel. You know, Danny Kelly has called me that for years, actually. He's given it the European flourish as we do a European show together. And I just think it fits. I've never corrected it. I'm fine with it.
I think that's fair. Brasser.
Yeah.
Brasser.
It's like if I was checking in at a French hotel, that's definitely what I would do.
You usually check in under a fake name because you are very famous and, like the best Frenchman, have many affairs. I need some... Right now, Andy, I mean, I have to say, I need some therapeutic Andy Brassel parenting right now because I am overstimulated. I need to get back in a manageable box because right now I'm spiky. I'm up. I'm down. I don't know where I am. How dare they throw us out of Europe? How dare they throw us out of Europe, Andy, because they need us more than ever. You'll be back for another test soon, Europe, because that was nothing short of chaotic and fun, and you can stick the coefficient up your bum. Brilliant. Really enjoyed that. I mean, if, like, Andy, if, like, at the death, we're losing, right? Our keeper, Martin Dubravka, is in the opposition box. Milan advancing with an open goal. Ali McCoist on core comms. All he can say, all he can manage to utter is the word, "Oh, problems." That's all he had. That's all he had. I mean, oh, if the end of that match, they didn't say you're getting kicked out of Europe, you've just got to shut a St. James's Park, the whole thing ends. It was just, it had a little bit of everything, that match. I wouldn't have any complaints if that was the last match my favourite football team, Newcastle United, played.
The thing is, the whole group, because I was watching the Dortmund game at the same time, and the whole group was brilliant. Tonight was brilliant, really. I mean, up until the point where Adeyemi scored for Dortmund, you thought this is the best 0-0 draw of all time. It was absolutely amazing. And then Kylian Mbappe had a potential winner ruled out by about, like, he's about 3 centimetres offside. So there was a lot going on. It was the group that delivered in a very different way to what you thought it would at the beginning, but probably came out with a similar sort of result that you thought it would do, because like most people thought that Newcastle would finish bottom before the start. They just didn't think they would finish bottom like that. They didn't deserve to finish bottom. And talking of brief affairs, I don't think they could have been any more fleeting than Newcastle with the Europa League this evening, could they?
Very briefly.
Really sad. I was looking forward to my Thursday nights.
Yeah, you do. I mean, one of the few nights of the week you don't work, usually in the Newcastle area, which is upsetting, to be honest. So it would have been nice to get a little bit of work at St. James's Park, doing your thing with your keyboard. Yeah.
You sound like I'm Jean-Michel Jarre. I'm going to be playing at half time. It's funny.
Grasshoppers.
Chopsticks first, I think.
Yes.
But I think I had one of my favourite Newcastle in European football moments at St James's on a Thursday night in the Europa League. They'd just drawn, it was under Pards, I think. They'd drawn 1-1 with Maritimo, who weren't very good, and they scored quite near the end. It was November, freezing cold, a bit miserable. And there were probably about 12 journalists waiting still in the mix zone, the bit just outside the dressing rooms where you can like stop the players and talk to them, talk to players. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I love the dedication. I love the people who are involved. And at the time, Danny Simpson was playing for Newcastle, and he was dating Talisa from X Factor.
Right, yes.
And the press officer popped her head out the door. I don't know if I should say this, but it's quite funny. The press officer popped her head out the door, and she said, lads, Danny's on the way, but no questions about Talisa. And literally all of them, apart from me and one other bloke, just left.
Really? Wow, that's all they wanted to hear about was, did they not want to talk about that weird soccer kid app rip-off he released? He released a video game of, it was called Danny Boy, I think, and it was on the App Store, and you probably can't get it anymore, but it was basically a rip-off of the Amiga game Soccer Kid, where Danny Simpson, I mean, you know, you wouldn't sort of say Danny Simpson was like the sexiest, well, maybe Talisa would say he's the sexiest footballer ever to have treaded the green boards at St. James's Park. But like, I just sort of think it was a weird person to decide that he warranted his own video game.
I guess you've just got to get out there and say, actually, maybe we should do it. Maybe we should do a video game. Well, maybe I should do a video game. People would expect it from you, wouldn't they? They wouldn't expect
from me. Well, maybe. I mean, the amount of times I've tried to rip the graphics out of Roberto Baggio's Magical Kicks to create a Ramble-specific version. That was a project. You know, when you back in the day when you got a bit of free time, you go, I never really got anywhere with that, did I? But anyway, but I mean, speaking of European adventures, Andy, you just come straight from Swiss television. Doing a bit of Swiss telly. Were you explaining the Swiss model to them? Because even though it's named after them, they do not understand it.
Well, I would have done, but it was actually Australian.
Oh, somebody said it was Swiss television. Unbelievable. Oh, well, never mind. We'll leave your television exploits behind. But two shots on target from Milan, and obviously that itself doesn't tell the whole story. But they won the match with them. I mean, Eddie, how the heck did we get kicked out with such a lively and sprightly football match?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot's been said about Newcastle's injuries, how they're picking the same team all the time because they have to, et cetera, et cetera. You're gradually seeing the players coming back, which globally for Newcastle is obviously quite good news. But the thing is, I think the subs made the difference in this game because they've been able to bring on subs for the first time in a while. But the thing is, when they're bringing on these subs, you're thinking, geez, he hasn't played for ages. Yeah. And I think that makes a massive difference. You know, these guys are all completely out of nick, coming into like the, you know, arguably the biggest game of Newcastle season to this point. You know, the willing was there. I'm not sure the guile and the legs quite were. And when Milan made their subs, I was thinking, well, you've created next to nothing. Why are you taking off Olivier Giroud? And then you look, all of a sudden, with Okafor, with Chukwueze, whose winning goal was brilliant, by the way, they've got legs. And the way they get up the pitch, it's not just the finish that's brilliant. The way they get up the pitch to score that goal is the difference, and it's, you know, undeserved. I think overall, you know, Newcastle deserved at least Europa League, but
it was all about Fabian Scher, whose hair whitened even further during that match, which you love to see. He's turning into a beautiful, handsome older man, but his hair, like the Crash Test Dummies song, his hair turned from a black into bright white throughout that match. He was caught in doing a 1-2 in the opposition box. But Newcastle still had players over. I thought, you know what? It's 3-on-3. I reckon they might be okay. And obviously, the winning goal was a peach. He had a lot to do, Andy.
Yeah, he did. It was a great finish. And you almost got the same thing over again with Tomori hitting the post at the end, because it hits the post and you think, oh, I can't believe they haven't finished it off. And then he obviously goes back to try and retrieve the ball that's rebounded from the post. You're like, oh my God, it's Tomori. How did that happen?
Well, it just defines
the chaos of the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, he was kind of notable. I thought, you know, when a match starts and you're like, right, well, the only notable thing out of this match, it might be like a really drizzly sort of a goalless draw. And the only thing we're going to be talking about is Tomori's tackle at the far post in the first half. And I thought that's going to be a real big talking point. You'd be lucky to, if you wrote a 3,000 word on that, you'd have time to mention that, for crying out loud. There was, you know, there was a player going through on goal, and he hit the post in the end. It was Liao, wasn't it? And Bruno was if Liao was just a little bit slower, Bruno would have kicked his absolute ankle off, because he was so ready to take a red for the team. It was really astonishing.
See, that's obviously Rafael Lau's quite fast, but yeah. I think it's a symptom of how tired Newcastle are, because you can hear like his inner monologue going, oh, I want to clean you out. I really want to clean you out.
I can't get there.
See, he was struggling at the end, Bruno, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. He's played a lot of minutes. But I mean, after the 1-1, you would have taken guaranteed European football after that. The stadium really came alive once Dortmund scored, and obviously that was really, really good news. And I thought, and to be honest, although I thought that at the point where there was a VAR check for PSG, it's been disallowed, I don't think that translated into the stadium as well as the previous big decisions that obviously come through. And you could see how Newcastle as a team were buoyed when the Newcastle fans were buoyed when they found out that obviously Dortmund had scored. It seemed to be a great night at St James's Park, and I think Newcastle can really hold their heads high, and it wasn't lost this evening. And what an adventure from start to finish. I think the fans would be looking forward to a few more nights like that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's the overwhelming sensation I had when the draw came out, that whatever happens, you know, these are three enormous home games that are going to be enormously exciting. And on a level of occasion, they all delivered. They were absolutely brilliant. And, you know, you had the full range of emotions from those. And, you know, people have been into it from the off here. Like, do you know when they made the draw? Like, the draw is normally something that you might catch up with on your phone, or if you're really into it, you know, you might have like on in the background when you're having your tea or whatever. But
not you, Andy. Here, surely you've got about 10. Surely you've got about 30 odd different screens looking at each ball.
I'm heating the balls, Peter. That's what I'm doing. I've got my hairdryer.
Just through sheer will.
But I think here, people were in the pubs watching the draw. It was it was massive. Like, people were into it from the very off. There were some like cool away trips, all of that. And you know, I personally think they won't make the Champions League next season. I think it's too hard with the improvements to Spurs and Villa in particular, particularly Villa at the moment, obviously. But look, a load of people I speak to, like, look, if we get top six, we get back into like Europa League, you know, bring it on. It's fine. You know, it keeps it all bubbling. Is that how you feel about it?
I don't know, after watching how Newcastle performed in that match, and probably to a lesser extent in the PSG route. Just put us in the conference. We will make it better. We will make it more competitive. Yes. You will watch more of Lewis Miley. You'll watch more of people. I mean, I did like Milan bringing on a number 95 at the end, trying to outdo our youngsters. I'm not having that. Absolutely cynical stuff, trying to get the clicks. Unbelievable. But yeah, but what an adventure. It was good.
The Italians like the crazy numbers more, though, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, of course they do. I mean, I just think that the scene was set. Joe Linton, just before he scored what has to be one of, you know, it's the best goal he'll score at St. James's Park, surely. Yeah. But he did a proper muggy back heel that nearly cost Newcastle about 2 minutes before his goal. And I thought, you know what? If it's going to, you could kind of tell it was going to be that kind of match when he does two things, one very bad and one incredibly insanely good, completely out of character. It was really, really something else. At least he didn't have at the death, you know, 94th minute header at the back post that he 50 pences into the crowd. I'm glad we didn't have that, for crying out loud.
That would have been disappointing. Look, I don't think they could have given it any more. If there's one thing you would change in the group, it would be the last minute penalty in Paris. That is it, yeah. really, isn't it? And poor old Tino Livramento, because he got that penalty given against him. And then, you know, after weeks of feeling that, oh, it'd be great if, like, you know, a left back could come back so Trippier could get a rest and Livramento could play at right back. He goes over to right back and he has an absolute nightmare for 15 minutes, really, which made a massive difference in the game. But, you know, he's a young player. These things happen, you know?
Mm. And also, you know, you're damned with an injured Trippier and you're damn without him a little bit, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Gareth, speaking of Tino Livramento and also Tomori and Anthony Gordon, Gareth Southgate was in attendance. You know, hosting the Ramba React means I have to mention England in Marcus's absence. But I mean, Tomori has to have been probably more of the standout performer, because Anthony Gordon kind of he got brought off at one point, didn't he? I mean, he kind of first half he looked quite busy on the left, but he sort of came a bit quieter.
I agree. I mean obviously he can sort of hedge his bets and not necessarily play for England. You know, he'll end up at the Euros by hook or by crook, I'm sure. Yeah. But look, I think with Tomori, it's a funny thing, because he's had some pretty poor games in front of Gareth Southgate when he's gone to see him play in Europe before. So for Southgate to turn up and Tomori to have a really good game, I think is quite a nice departure. I mean, a lot of us would have loved to see Tomori like get more chances for England beforehand. I think he'd be super useful to have in team. You know, he's one of the better central defenders in Europe. Not one of the absolute best, but definitely one of the better ones. So I think it would be a shame if he didn't play a big part with England coming into Euro 2024 and showing up in a big game like that, when not just he, but Milan in general have struggled a little bit with that. You know, I think you look at Milan sometimes, you think, oh, Milan, 7 times Champions League winners, etc., etc. If you look at them player for player, it's not an enormous amount of experience. They've not got loads more experience in the Champions League than, say, Newcastle in terms of Champions League appearances. So, you know, for him to show up and them to show up is pretty good for them. But, you know, you definitely saw that, I thought, at the end of the first half, where, like, Mike Maignan, who, again, is an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Now, he is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And that save from Bruno Guimaraes in the second half was brilliant.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Incredible. but the thing is, he needed that, because he's had a couple of, like, probably 6 to 8 really bad weeks. Mm. And there have been some big errors in that, including in the last game against Dortmund. And you could tell, like, towards the end of the first half, you know, when he's spent ages complaining to the referee that Callum Wilson was standing in front of him, it's like, He's 10 yards away. He's allowed to be there.
He was so far away. He had a couple of, like, quite wobbly moments, I think, and I think he was trying to play himself back into a bit of form. And goodness me, didn't he just? There was a lovely moment. I think Wilson worked really hard in this match, and I think he's really sort of like showing what an important footballer is for Newcastle. Not obviously because he plays his spot really well, but he was Harry Kane-ing it. He was back in midfield first half, but he just couldn't keep up the juice.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? But look, he's going to get himself in the England squad for next year. So, sorry, you really have spelled this pod.
Sorry, I've spelled it up, haven't I? Well, look, let me talk about another fine England prospect, Jamal Lascelles. There was a lovely moment where the commentator it was Giroud versus Lascelles, and they were both just having a bit of a scrap. And they were saying, both talented footballers, but a physical battle between them. I was going, yeah, I mean, I think Giroud's come out worse there. I mean, it's Jamal Lascelles, and the other bloke has definitely won a few more things, you would probably suggest, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit sort of Yoda hitting R2-D2 with his walking stick, really, isn't it? It's that sort of business.
Yeah, and a walking stick is definitely in the offing at Giroud's age, you would imagine.
For sure.
Right, yeah. We're going to take a short advertorial. So, John, we'll be back with a little bit more chat, including some white-hot coefficient nattering.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
All right, we're back with Rama Reacts. Let's get back into it. Dortmund and PSG, of course, as we said before, go through to the next round after their 1-1 draw. But with Newcastle and Man United both out of the Champions League, this is funny. The Premier League's coefficient has been damaged, and that might mean whoever finishes fifth doesn't get UEFA Champions League football next season, which was previously a possibility. It's Andy, again, going back to Andy as a parent, has your child ever got really upset in a shop and you've kind of ushered them out and in kind of protest they've just knocked over a display stand? This is very much like, if you're going to charge me for a fizzy water in a hotel minibar, I'm going to carve my initials into the wall, kind of on my way out, I'm going to fuck things up for yous.
No, because the only shop display I can really remember seeing of any sort of substance with the kids, I remember, like, probably this would have been a while ago when they were quite small. It was when they were promoting one of the FIFAs, they had a life-size Marco Royce in Sainsbury's in East Dulwich, which was a bit unusual.
His natural stomping ground, his natural habitat, Andy.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
what are you doing here?
He was flirting with one of his several variations of, like, sort of techno mullet at the time. But I think the kids were just too small to knock over the display at that point. Although he has been quite injury prone in his time. I reckon a little push and he would have gone straight over.
Yeah, well, you imagine his Achilles are probably made of wet cardboard. So Royal Antwerp got their first Champions League win tonight against Barcelona, 3-2. I think Celtic won as well, another strange one, after the Lord Mayor show and all that. Even worse for the Barcelona players, though. Public showers, Andy, have been banned due to droughts in the region. So Barca players have to shower at home and they can't use any at the training ground. The thing about footballers is, Andy, they do have tiny wee cars, and that is going to stink them out.
It is, but they also all have Louis Vuitton wash bags. So
that is true.
If that hasn't got a load of expensive scent in it, I mean, what else could it have in it, really?
Who's that footballer who turned up at training with a Pornhub bag? What's it? I forget which footballer. I think he was German or something, or Italian. I can't remember. But what one footballer turned up? Maybe somebody can get in touch. But some footballer I remember turned up with a Pornhub wash bag. The scene is so typically teenage.
Nice. Well, you know, until quite deep into his career, Mishi Batshuayi used to, like, when they all turned up with like Vuitton wash bags.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll carry the same one, don't they? Yeah. Really. He used to always wear a SpongeBob SquarePants backpack, or Bob l'éponge, as they call him in France.
Bob l'éponge.
But basically, but maybe he still wears it. But it's just, he's not famous anymore, so we don't see
it. Nobody
cares. I don't know. He just
don't care anymore.
Yeah, I've upgraded. I've got Baby Yoda now.
Just trying to get more and more. Or like one of those like Ninja Turtle half shells on your back, for crying out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I like it.
I mean, like, if you were like a footballer and you were joining a club for the first time and you thought of yourself as a one-off, a thoughtful footballer, how would you kind of set yourself apart? Would you be pulling up in a mini to the training ground? Would you be pulling up with a carrier bag under each arm, or just smoking a big pipe?
Well, the little car, that's Bernardo Silva's vibe, isn't it?
N'Golo Kante as well. I think he gets involved in the mini.
Didn't Tino Asprilla used to drive a Rover when he was at Newcastle?
Right. Is that not a
Rover hatchback?
Back then, was that not a
not like a Range Rover, like a you know, sort of middle class dad's hatchback sort of business, which presumably had a load of second hand books in it and
his arm out the car window with one of his fur coats on in the castle snow. Oh, lovely stuff. I don't know, but I would just come in swinging a big sword around. I reckon. Just absolutely going for it.
Good way to make friends, yeah.
Group stage in the Champions League, Andy. What have been your highlights? Any standouts from, I'm going to say, the troubled league of Turkey, the troubled leagues further east? Any kind of really, really fun performances and clubs that you've really enjoyed this group stage across all of the groups?
I think there's been so much fun in it, but I'm wondering if it. I think part of it is it's been a particularly fun group stage, and I'm thinking particularly Galatasaray's 3-2 win at Manchester United, which shows that you know, competence is overrated. I think you know, entertainment is fun as well, which is kind of the direction that football's going in, I suppose. Entertainment rather than sport. Bit old manny of me, but there you go. But
get back in
your
Rover.
I'm just loading the old copies of Sheridan's The Rivals first. But I just think, you know, is it just that it's been such an entertaining group stage, or is it sort of almost premature nostalgia? Because of course, this is the last night of real group stage Champions League football that we're going to have for a generation,
that is,
isn't it?
True.
So
another thing Newcastle and Man United have ruined.
Will we be looking back on this in a year? It's fine. They'll be part of the expanded conglomerate of, you know, this stealthy Super League that exists in the next couple of years. I wonder if we will look back at this not just as an entertaining group stage, but, you know, sort of vintage last hurrah, you know.
A goodbye to our teenage years.
Yeah, exactly. The 23-24 season group stage of the Champions League. Oh, that was a vintage year. I think we might, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of like sort of vintage kind of group stages back in the day. I mean, it was like, it was very much the Man United sort of, it was Taffarel in goal for Galatasaray back in the like day, like
yes.
Playing Man United and teams like that, Besiktas and stuff, absolutely going toe to toe back in the day. Like these are the kind of clubs that you don't necessarily hear about doing numbers in the Champions League that did back then. So yeah, I think the group stage you kind of forget that this is part of our sort of 90s nostalgia. This was the part of the start of our kind of Champions League journey. So it is really, really sad.
Yeah, bring back Art Media Bratislava.
Yeah,
I remember
damn right.
We've
lost
that season that they tanked Celtic and then beat Porto at Dragao. That was amazing.
I'm looking at Champions League. I'm trying to type it as quickly as I can into a Galaxy Z Fold 5. Hang on. Champions League. Dynamo Dresden.
Oh, yes.
Dynamo Dresden, Andy. You having that?
Basically, you're saying anyone whose shirt you can get on M&M Direct. That's what you're into. Schalke. Yeah.
Did Malmo ever get in there? I think Malmo got through the group stages.
Yeah, I remember speaking to Kari Arnason, who used to play for them, Icelandic guy, used to play for them. He's quite a sort of legendary player for like Aberdeen and Plymouth as well. He was also, how many people have played for Aberdeen, Plymouth and lost 8-0 to Real Madrid at the Bernabeu in the Champions League group stage? I mean, that's one hell of a career, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, let's get out of here. We've had a lot of fun. If you want to hear more about the other group stages, if you want to hear more about the stinking hounds of Barcelona, do have a listen to On the Continent, OTC, on its own feed this afternoon. On your Thursday, Andy. What a Thursday treat. Oh, it was my Thursday treat. I don't want your Thursday treat. You have to record it.
Well, my Thursday treat is the cup of tea I'm going to be having between this and OTC. Might have a toasted croissant as well. Is that permitted?
Yes, please.
I think anything is permitted in this group stage of the Champions League. Anything can happen.
Dinamo Tirana. Bring them back. Dinamo Tirana. Come on. All right.
Say
then.
No to traffic lights.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to today's Ramble React. The Ramble is back on Friday with a preview shot and then the mailbag on Saturday. Give us an email, short@footballramble.com, ahead of that one with any big questions you've got about football, UTI, anything really, life itself. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Farewell, Andy Brassel. Thank you for joining us.
Ciao, ciao.
And that has been Newcastle United in the Champions League.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.